less than 1% of this entire career field is Black. At the end of the day, the goal is to enrich this community, this career field. So sometimes you kind of just have to dive into the awkward if that's the way you feel about it.
Welcome to Genotypecast, a new podcast from Gray Genetics. Genetics isn't always black and white. News stories related to genetics often raise more questions than they answer. On Genotypecast, we bring you insight from genetic counselors. I'm your host, Eleanor Griffith, a certified genetic counselor and the founder of Gray Genetics, an independent telehealth genetic counseling and consulting service.
But what we were finding is we weren't seeing a lot of Black students sometimes even going to those career fairs. Most importantly, going to high schools and middle schools and reaching the demographic there.
Deanna Darnes is a certified genetic counselor. She graduated from the University of Texas Genetic Counseling Program in 2010 with a Master of Science in Genetic Counseling. She is currently working as a prenatal genetic counselor at Fetal Care Center Dallas, where she is the director of genetic counseling services. Prior to joining the Fetal Care Center, she held positions in both prenatal and pediatric specialties, including at the Children's Hospital of Colorado. Within her clinical practice, Deanna also runs a highly sought-after student shadowing program that is attended by prospective genetic counseling students, nursing students, and medical school residents from across Texas. Deanna, thank you so much for speaking with me.
No problem. I'm happy to be here.
So we are both on Twitter, and I noticed on Twitter that the account Black in Genetics and the hashtag Black in Genetics from the past week, which was great to see, but totally new to me. Is this something that, is it new this year, or is it something that's been going on for a while and I've just never noticed?
No, it's brand new. And so I had kind of heard about it through the grapevine just a few short days before that Monday when it started. And all of those hashtags, all of that account, even the Instagram account, were all brand new right before everything kicked off.
Okay, so what is Black in Genetics, or the acronym then is BIG? Like, what?
Correct.
What is the organization? What is the goal?
The goal is to amplify our voices in this community, this career field, getting the word out there that there are a lot of us who practice, whether that be research genetics, genetic counseling. Even there's Black in Engineering and all sorts of other acronyms like Black in STEM, just getting that word out there that, you know, we are here, we are available, especially for mentoring, getting other Black people involved in this career field, just, you know, kind of just showing up.
Yeah. And so last week was hashtag Black in Genetics Week. Is that right?
Correct.
And was that just to bring awareness because this is a new organization? Is that something that's going to be annual or both?
I don't know if it's going to be an annual situation, as I'm not the head of it in any way, shape, or form, just someone who was involved with it when I saw the hashtag and wanting to, you know, get that information out there. I would hope so, as I think we, you know, found a lot of, you know, colleagues and lots of things that were available that maybe a lot of people didn't know or were aware of.
Yeah. So I know before the interview, you'd mentioned to me that you were actually the first Black person to go through your genetic counseling program. And since you graduated in 2010, there's only been one other Black person to go through your genetic counseling program. Can you talk to me a little bit about what that experience was like for you?
Sure. I actually, when I was going through the program, didn't know that I was the first. It wasn't something like that I had asked about or anything along those lines. I knew that there weren't a lot of minorities in the career field in general, but to be frank, that's something that I'm very used to. Going to, you know, high school and middle school and all the different classes I was in, it was not uncommon for me to be the only Black person in the room. So to be
there. Can I ask where you grew up?
I'm a military brat, so I kind of grew up all over. Three high schools, two middle schools, three elementary schools.
Okay.
So I didn't know that I was the first one, and I kind of actually didn't know until Carla, who is the second one, kind of brought it to my attention. It's just something that I've always kind of been used to, especially in a scientific field that there's just not that many of us, or not many that I would see on a daily basis. So it just was something I'm used to.
Yeah. Is that Carla Magruder?
Yes.
Okay. That's funny. Genetic counseling, such a small field.
Oh, very funny.
How is the field as a whole at this point handling outreach and recruitment of minority students and possibly Black students specifically? Do you see that there's good efforts? And is that a change from when you were starting school or when you were graduating in 2010?
I know that there is a desire, I mean, there's a strong desire to do so, to get that information out there, but I don't know how well it's been done by the majority of programs. I have talked with my, you know, program director as well as my assistant director at UT and talked with them more about, you know, what they're doing, how they're going about things. And they were actually strangely told by someone that it wasn't a good idea to like reach out to your alumni that are Black and everything like that to get their perspective on things, because they would be, it would be seen sort of like tokenism, or that they're like abusing that relationship, which I found very, very strange, because how are you going to change things if you don't talk to the people that went through your program to get their perspective on what could be changed? So I found that really just kind of odd that anyone would give that type of advice.
And is that white people giving advice not to reach out to Black people?
The ethnicity of the person who told them that was not white, but they weren't Black either, that told them that it wouldn't be a good idea. So I found that to be just strange, because like, okay, well, how would you know? How would you know how, you know, we would feel about that situation? Because quite frankly, I would welcome, you know, feedback, or not feedback, but to be reached out to talk about what my experience was and how I think it's better, you know, how they can go about outreach a little bit better in recruitment.
Yeah, I guess that kind of speaks to the need for or like the benefit of having an organization like Black in Genetics, where it just kind of formalizes it.
Right. And yeah. You see different people's opinions and maybe not feel like, you know, you're prodding them or you're asking them 21 questions to get that information out of them. Because I can see it on that regard. If you have an alumni that you haven't spoken to very much and you kind of just reach out to them out of the blue via email, that could be a very awkward situation if you don't have or have not maintained a decent relationship with them, whether that be personal or professional. So I can see it out of the blue in that sense. But at the end of the day, the goal is to enrich this community, this career field. So sometimes you kind of just have to dive into the awkward if that's the way you feel about it.
Yeah. And you mentioned getting feedback from Black people about how programs could handle outreach or recruitment of minority students differently. Do you feel that the efforts of programs right now are kind of on the mark or kind of off base? Or is it just like too hard to comment on all the programs of the U.S., of course?
Right. Because, of course, I don't know all the programs and, you know, what different ones are doing to kind of get the word out there. I know that with UT, they'll go to different, you know, some high schools, they'll reach out to college, especially like A&M and things like that. But that even doing that is just such a small, small area. So you're not really hitting a lot of different groups. I would say overall, I don't think it's doing very well, considering the fact that, you know, there's over 5,000 genetic counselors now and less than 50 are Black. So that's a way less than 1% situation. And this has been a career field that's, you know, decades old, while, you know, still would be considered fairly young in comparison to other healthcare fields. That's still a very, very small amount.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have ideas as to why that might be? Like, do you think it's that there is just the recruitment efforts aren't very good, or that there's other reasons that Black people might choose to go into other healthcare professions as opposed to genetic counseling?
No, I don't think it's been like brought up. Carl and I did, basically like a very small study where we were going out to colleges that did have a high Black student population, things like University of Houston, UNT, and Texas A&M Commerce, and a couple others. And we would go to different career fairs and try and engage in those, you know, professors and students at those career fairs. But what we were finding is we weren't seeing a lot of Black students sometimes even going to those career fairs. One thing that we have talked about amongst each other is, you know, if you're a minority and you're going to college, you know, is there a higher percentage of those individuals who are either on scholarship or paying their own way through college, especially those who are maybe first generation? So if you're looking at it from that perspective, you may have an idea of what you want to do already very early on, maybe even before you started going to college, because, you know, your time and money is very valuable. And so you're not switching majors a lot. So you may be in a situation where by the time we do reach a lot of minorities, especially Black people, they already have an idea of what they want to do. That process is already set. They've already done their requirements. So, you know, me coming in saying, hey, there's this, you know, new career field, you know, I personally would then start calculating, okay, well, what requisites don't I have? What do I need to do? Is that now another whole semester that I have to, do a lot of different classes just to go into this career field? Or am I kind of good what I've already decided on? And that could be a big hurdle as well for getting to those individuals.
Yeah. And you mentioned before the interview, what about isms? Like, and I'm vaguely familiar with that, but I don't really know what they are. So okay. what are what about isms?
Sure. Just in general, it's when you're bringing up a topic of conversation and you're explaining yourself and somebody may want to give a counter argument, which is just, well, what about such and such? Well, what about this case over here? So it's sort of like diverting attention from the original intent of either the debate or argument or discussion. You call them what about isms. The reason why I bring that up and why it's so difficult sometimes when we're talking about, just outreach or even right now in Texas, we're trying to do, scholarships for individuals who are Black, where it alleviates some of those application fees or possible travel fees. Granted, travel might not be the biggest thing right now, given that we're going through a pandemic. That might be very different, but trying to alleviate that financial burden. And in that process, there were a lot of emails from individuals who were saying that, just doing outreach right now for Black students is not diverse enough for them, or what about this ethnic group, or what about international students? So it's not to say that those other groups aren't in need or don't have a struggle or we shouldn't be doing something about them. It's the fact that right now we're kind of focused on this emergent equity where we have, again, less than 1% of this entire career field is Black. And so we're just trying to, recruit as much as possible. And, if money for application fees or travel is a barrier, we want to do as much as we possibly can to get rid of that barrier.
My understanding is that without looking back at the professional status survey again, the percentage of Blacks in the profession is much lower than the percentage of any other minorities.
Right.
Yeah. So, and how do you think those what about isms, just like those sorts of attitudes, or I guess like counters, like you were saying, to those initiatives actually end up discouraging Black counselors from being vocal or participating, I guess, in the recruitment efforts?
It becomes very frustrating and then sometimes actually even demoralizing, depending on, how steadfast the other individual is about essentially changing the subject. It makes it you feel like, okay, this isn't important just because it's not important to that other person. You question whether or not them bringing up that other topic is actually genuine, or is it a way just because they don't want to listen to what you have to say? So you really don't feel heard in the situation.
Right. And you alluded to earlier the class disparity that can be at play here too. Like for someone going to college, maybe they're more likely, if they're Black, maybe they're more likely to be working or have already decided on what they were going to pursue before they started and just kind of be like more practical and focused in their goals. How do you see that playing in? And is that also one of the what about isms that you get?
Where no, it's like, actually, I think we don't talk about class even enough. In the sense that, for those individuals who are of a lower socioeconomic status, they may not be going to college, at all. And so we're not even able to reach those individuals who could be, fantastic, genetic counselors and definitely add to our career field, but we're going to a place where they might not even be. So for me, a big thing that I think would benefit for outreach and recruitment is to not only just, go to your regular standard, 4-year universities, but, going to community college, but most importantly, going to high schools and middle schools and reaching the demographic there, I think would be the best for our career, because then you're getting individuals interested in genetic counseling. They know exactly what it is. Because let's face it, not that many people even know what genetic counseling is to begin with. And so they hear it from a young age and it may be something that they can get into. And therefore, if there's different scholarships that are available, especially for your, first generation individuals going to college, that it may be helpful in that regard. I think it would just be so much more well-rounded of a community if we had, not only diversity ethnically, but class as well, just getting a different viewpoint from someone who had a different, upbringing or life situation, I think would be incredible. And I don't think that gets talked about enough.
Yeah. And you think like reaching out to people middle school, high school age, like so much earlier than the college career fair opportunity window is probably like a better way to achieve that.
Right.
For individual genetic counselors who might be listening, about 95% of whom are white and over 99% are not Black. What can we do differently aside from like institutional goals? Like, are there attitudes that you've seen? I mean, you mentioned the whataboutisms, but like attitudes, microaggressions that you see that we should all be more aware of, and anything like practical or subtle that we should keep in mind that we can change to help improve this, or at least to not be part of the problem.
Right. I think that starts in many ways with just being open to listening and taking your own personal feelings or bias out of it, which I know can be very difficult. I think a great book for individuals looking to do that is going to be something called White Fragility. I think that's a fantastic book for a lot of people to read, because it really does set up the idea that, you know, these type of disparities, whether that be, you know, within systematic racism and dealing with minority groups and academia and things that we go through, if the other person is so focused on their own feelings and emotions about the situation rather than actually listening to the individual who is trying to explain what they've gone through and what they've dealt with, then you're not really going to get anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I think that is going to be really the first thing that can be done, which, of course, as genetic counselors, we're taught to do anyway when we're taught, you know, to very much listen to our patients and try and see things from their perspective rather than just our own general biases.
Yeah. But I think it's still easier to do that maybe in a professional clinical context where we're like putting on like our training hat than in our like day to day interactions in life where we're just kind of like going on autopilot. Great. Well, thank you so much for talking with me. Is there anything else that I should have asked you?
Oh goodness. There's so much, but
right?
So much. We're just a short 20 minute amount of time. So
yeah.
I think it's a good start.
If you are a certified genetic counselor and would like to come on GenotypeCast to talk about an issue related to genetics in the news, send an email to podcast@graygenetics.com.
The information contained in this podcast does not constitute medical advice and is also not a substitute for genetic counseling. Neither Gray Genetics nor any of its guests makes any representation or warranty as to the accuracy or completeness of the statements or any information contained in this podcast. Evaluation of an individual's personal and family health history is a crucial part of genetic counseling and any recommendations.